I haven't even gotten to the messages that I feel like the Lord really kind of put on my heart to preach yet. These are kind of building up to those. And our theme for the year is faith is the victory. Faith is a victory. We looked at that in 1 John and chapter number 5 and verse number 4 this last week. Faith is the victory. And just to be reminded, when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, plus and minus nothing, when I put my faith in Him, at that moment in time, I was put into a position, and we looked at this last week. Encourage you, if you say, I don't understand what you're talking about, go listen to last week's sermon. It's online, but I was put into a position of victory. That's where I stand before God. I have victory, not of myself, not of my works, not of anything I've done, but because of what Christ did, I have victory through Christ by faith. I put my faith in the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. It provides for me a victory. I had that at the day of my salvation. And as I live my life, I live a life of victory based upon what Christ did on the cross. His death, burial, and resurrection gives me victory every day of my life. And so I'm either going to live unto the reality of the victory that Christ gave, and I'm going to live a life of faith to God, or I am going to live a life that is to the world. The world, if I live according to the world, I'll be overcome, but God wants me to be an overcomer, and if I'm going to be an overcomer, it's going to require that I live a life of faith, which is victory, and I live a life of victory in each and every one of us. Are going to live a life that is either yielded to victory in Christ or it's yielded unto the world. Those are the lives that we live. We are either going to be living a life that is worldly and live a life that is characterized by worldly activities and worldly things and worldly attitudes and worldly actions, or we're going to live a life that is characterized by victory in Christ. And that is through by living life in faith in Christ. When we have faith in Christ, it leads to action. Just as when we're worldly, it also leads to actions. Right? I say this with teenagers all the time. It's really old and it's not new and it's kind of silly. But if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck and quacks like a duck and has feathers like a duck and looks like a duck, it's a duck. And the reality is this. If you and I look, act, talk, smell, and do things worldly, we're going to be worldly. And if we'll act, our actions will lead us to live towards Christ and live in a way that would be like we read about in Acts in chapter 9 today. In Sunday school, I'm sorry, Acts chapter 11, in Sunday school, where they were called Christians first at Antioch. Well, why is that? Because they were acting like Christ. They were little Christ. There were actions that were accompanied the faith that they had, and it was evident in their lives. James, when we looked at the book of James in chapter number 1, where James just said this, "You show me your faith without your works, but I will show you my faith by my works." Don't go to James now. This is last week. We're building up here to today. Today we're going to look at faith. We're going to discuss what faith is. Faith is, and we understand from 1 John, it is victory. Faith is the victory that we have. And here in Hebrews in chapter 11, we have another statement of what faith is, and to help us understand the faith that we are to have and how we are supposed to live by faith and how we can live by faith and how we can identify ourselves with Christ. It says in Hebrews in chapter number 11, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it," what? Faith. "For by faith the elders obtained a good report." A good report. They had a testimony by their faith of God. They were able to be shared a good report of who God is and what God has done by the testimony of the faith. In Hebrews in chapter 11, we're not going to look at all of the stories of the elders and all the stories of the patriarchs of the faith, if you will, but it begins to go through the different names. By faith Abel, and by faith Enoch, and by faith Abraham, and by faith Noah, and by faith, and by faith, and by faith. All the way through the Old Testament and throughout history, it is by faith that men have had substantive things that they have hoped for. They have evidence in things that would point to the fact that it is their faith that they have obtained in Christ that has caused them to, that has provided them to action. We discussed this last week as well. That the action that we are called to, the things that we're going to, that are going to identify us with Christ, are in keeping His commandments. Therefore, if I know His commandments, I know what His Word says, I am going to act upon said commandments, and it causes me to be able to provide evidence of the fact that I have faith in Christ. When I'm obedient to Christ and His commands, then it is evidence that I have faith in Him. Because God said it, I'm going to do it. Because God said not to do it, I'm not going to do it. That doesn't mean that the Christian life is about do's and don'ts. No, the Christian life is about relationship. And because I love God, the 1 John says, I'm going to evidence that by keeping His commandments. I love my wife, therefore I've separated myself wholly unto her. Right? I'm not seeking after, looking after, desiring after. No. She is my desire. And the same thing would be if we'd say, I love God. He is our desire. In fact, He tells His disciples that if you follow after me, if you're truly going to be my disciples, and you're really going to show forth love for me, it is going to look as if you have hatred towards everyone else in this world. It doesn't mean that that I just walk up to people and just say, I just want you to know, I hate you. I just want you to know, I dislike you. No, that's not what Christ is saying. But it's a scripture of comparison. That if one is true, that I love God supremely, above everything and above everyone, if I love Him, then the love that I have for Him is going to seem like hatred towards others. That I would yield to Him over the influence, over the desires, over the interaction with anyone else. I'm going to seek after Him. But here's also a reality. If I'm seeking after Him and I'm being obedient to His commands, the reality is that the commands of God are going to cause me to love my neighbor as myself. That's going to be a reality. It's going to show forth in my actions towards you whether I truly love Him. It's going to show forth in the way I treat you whether or not I really love Him. Because I cannot hate my neighbor, Jesus said, and love him at the same time. It's impossible to do so because God said, listen, I so love the world, not that I love those that love me or do good to them that do good to me. In fact, He very much taught against this. He told His disciples, if you only love those that love you and do good for them that do good to you, then what thank have ye? Absolutely, we do good to those who do good to us and we love those who love us. But He said this, love thine enemies, do good to them that despitefully use you. Well, how in the world can we do that? Well, by loving Him. Because He looked at all mankind in their sin. And He had love towards you and I. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says that in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You in your sin. Christ had love towards you and for you. And it is through the obedience to His commands that we have evidence of our faith towards Him. As a pastor of this church over the last 10 years, I've used this statement as a working definition. I've said it many times. This is our working definition of faith. This is what faith is. Faith is taking God at His word. Taking God at His word. Me simply knowing what God's told me to do and doing it is me practicing faith towards God. We see that in 1 John, keeping His commandments. We see that in Hebrews in chapter 11, as it became to be evident that God said to do something and men did it. Why? Because they had faith in the one who had told them to do it. They followed through with what God had told them to do. Very practically, when I act in obedience to the word of God, I am acting in faith. That's what I'm doing. When I read the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God says, listen, this is for you, and I act upon it, I am acting in faith towards God, His given Word to me. And when I act upon my flesh, And the world, I do so because I lack faith. No, I lack faith when I say, you know what? I'm not going to be yielded to God. I'm just not going to have faith that God is capable or can do or will do what His Word promises that He will do. I'm not going to trust that. Well, what do we call that? We call that a lack of faith. You're yielded to your flesh. You're either walking in the Spirit or you're walking in the flesh. And listen to me. God said, I shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. He promised that. He promised that. He said He'd make all things to work together for good. And He gave a qualifier to them that love Him. Well, how do we love Him? According to 1 John, we looked at it last week. We keep His commandments. We keep His commandments. He said, he work all things together for good to them that love God, and who keep His commandments. Why is that? Because we're showing forth in our life that we have faith in Him, and God blesses us when we step out by faith. Situationally, in our life, circumstances do situational circumstance doesn't give me victory, but my relationship with Christ does. No. Being a person of action doesn't give me victory, but my faith in Christ does. I have relationship with Christ by faith, and where does that faith come from? It comes from Him and in Him. Romans in chapter 10 and verse number 17, it says this, "So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Romans 10, 17. As you and I hear the Word of God, I mean really hear the Word of God, and what God has to say, it is going to change our lives when we allow the Word of God to be applied in us. That God said that, and guess who He's talking to? He's talking to me. Right. When God said, love thine enemies, He's talking to me. When God said, do good to them that hate you and despitefully use you, He's talking to me. When God said that I'm supposed to have no other gods before Him, He's talking to me. When God said, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. Listen, all those commands, He's talking to me. He's directing that at mankind. I, as part of mankind, yield to His Word by faith in Him. If you have faith and victory today, it took place because you heard the Word of God. Someone shared with you the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Come on, the good news of Jesus Christ was shared with you, and you received the good news of Christ, that of yourself, you cannot have peace with God, but through Christ, you can have victory, and you can have peace with God, and you received Christ by acknowledging that you couldn't, but He could, and you received His gift, and His payment for your salvation. That's how each and every one of us receive Christ. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friend, listen to me. For you to pay for your own sin would cause your death. For Christ to pay for your sin caused His death, but praise the Lord, He also rose from the dead to give us hope of the gospel today. We have faith because of what Christ has done. And faith cometh by hearing. Hearing what Christ did. There was no one here that was an eyewitness. Not one of us. But by faith I've read the Word of God by His Spirit. I believed it's true. And I trusted on Him for salvation. So God's Word informed me of it. His Spirit, I believed it. His Spirit indwelt me. And thus should be in every day of the Christian's life. That we would be in the Word of God. And that we would allow the Word of God to guide us and direct us. And to order our steps and to correct us. And to instruct us in righteousness. And that we by faith would agree with the Word of God. That we'd be honest about ourselves. Where our life does not line up with His Word. And that we would yield ourselves to it. And when we do so, we are acting by faith. Every day of the Christian life should be done this way. God's Word says God's Word says it, and we decide that, and we determine we are going to act upon it. The reality is, sadly, many Christians, those who claim to know Christ and His victory, don't walk by faith at all. We don't walk by faith at all. I'm talking about people that go to church and sing the songs and get involved. And many times we are lacking in faith. And we do not have faith. Faith isn't needed in our lives until we hit a crisis. I mean, we're able to handle all the small things, all the little things of life. We're able to, you know, get ourselves up in the morning and get to work and get through all the things that are there. And when a crisis hits, that's when we need faith. That's the average American Christian, I would say. We rely on our natural ability. That man, these are the things that I can do. This is the strength that I have. We allow our feelings and emotions to have control of our decisions. And we do things not based on obedience, but just based on, man, this is how I feel. And this is, and we talked about it in Sunday school. This just seems practical. This seems unpractical. That seems practical. So therefore, it's just got to be the right decision. We allow ourselves to have circumstances direct our decisions and to be overwhelm us in our daily lives instead of living lives of faith. Faith is not for the crisis. Faith should be the very essence of the Christian life, that without it, we do not have life. Thus, we cannot live life without it. And every moment of every day and every decision that I make, whether we deem it to be big or whether we deem it to be small, friend, listen to me. We have need of obedience to God. We have need of faith. And when we get into a crisis, it does not reveal the fact that, oh my goodness, now I need faith. No. It reveals the fact that you are now aware of your need for faith. No, come on. The need of faith was there when you didn't have a crisis in your life. The crisis only reveals that you're now aware of your need to start living by faith. God could have been just as, worked just as much yesterday if you would have got up and said, listen, Lord, I need you today. I need to be obedient to you today. I need you to give me instruction today. I want to walk in obedience with you. But faith, our obedience to the word of God, it is vital. Without faith, we cannot be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. By faith, it says in Hebrews 11, and look at verse number 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We can't be saved without faith. We can't please God without faith. Listen, there's no moment of your life that is to be lived without faith, without obedience to the word of God. And thus, everything I do and everything I am and everything that my life is about should be the fact that I have a word of God that is guiding it and directing it, that I'm doing what I'm doing and I'm living the life I'm living and I'm living how I'm living because I'm trying to walk in obedience and live in obedience by faith to the word of God and to God's instructions to me. Let's be reminded that the Lord often chastised and corrected his disciples for their lack of faith or for being little of faith. That we would stop and remind ourselves that, listen, you need God every moment of every day. You need God in the circumstances of your life. You need God to be at work. You need to be walking obedient to him. It shouldn't be a shock to us that we would need to be reminded of it if his disciples needed to be reminded of it, of their need for faith in him. Mark in chapter 4, just a couple examples in verse number 40. Jesus was asleep in a boat that was on a tempestuous sea, and the waves were high, and the disciples were afraid, and they were thinking they were going to lose their life, and Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat. Remember the story. And they go and they wake him and say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? His response to them in Mark 4:40, why are ye so fearful? So he says to them, how is it you're so fearful? Why? And he says this, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? The Son of God was asleep in the midst of the storm in the back of the boat. He was getting rocked by the same waves that they were, but he was at rest by faith. And you and I, when we lose our cool in the midst of the burdens, in the midst of the storms of life, it is because we have no faith, or we have a lack of faith towards a God who is able to bring all peace into our lives. Matthew in chapter number 6, as he gives the Sermon on the Mount, again, he's talking to his disciples, and as he gives the Sermon on the Mount, he says plainly, verse number 25 and verse number 31, take no thought what you shall eat. He talks about some real practical concerns of mankind, like what are we going to eat for lunch? Some of you have been thinking about that since breakfast, right? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? I mean, these are practical concerns of life. I mean, these are just things that normal people think about. Even back in the time of Christ, there were things that normal people thought about. What are we going to drink? What are we going to eat? And what kind of clothes? What are we going to wear? But in verse number 30, Jesus said this: Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much clothe you, O ye of little faith? I mean, we have these very practical things. I mean, we're concerned about very important things to humanity. I mean, you don't drink, you don't live. You don't eat, you don't live. You don't clothe, nobody wants to live with you, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. You'll get that later. But listen. God said this: why are you worried about all these little bitty things, these simple little things? Why don't you just have faith in me? Why don't you just live in obedience to me? Why is it that you have little faith and you're concerned with all these things that God himself has promised that he will take care of if you simply just have faith in him? If his disciples of that day that walked with him, that lived with him, listen, if they struggled with having faith, then the reality is this: so do you and I. You and I struggle having faith. You and I struggle to be obedient to God. You and I struggle to remember the promises of God from time to time. You and I struggle to be mindful that God didn't design me to carry the burdens and of this life and to carry the needs of this life, but he himself will take care of all our need. We must have faith in him. Our life is not fuel. Our life must be fueled by faith in God. It must be fueled by faith in God. One preacher said this, or a commentator, I know I read this, isn't my thought, but they said this: faith is the fuel that drives the Christian life. It's the fuel that drives the Christian life. You want to get further in life, you want to get to tomorrow, you want to get down the road of life, then you're going to have to apply faith to your life. You're going to have to be obedient to the Word of God and take that next step and keep moving forward. And when we do not have faith, it causes us to sit still, it causes us not to move, it causes us not to act. But when we have faith in God, it's going to lead to action. That action is obedience. Faith keeps the believer going. Faith is what we look to that causes us to move forward. As we look at our text that we read in Hebrews in chapter 11, Paul is giving us some insight into what faith is and how faith works. And he does so with some very simple statements in verse number 1. He says this: that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Substance is this. Substance is something existing. That's what substance is. If something does not exist, it does not have substance. And so things that exist have substance. It's something existing. Something which really is. That's what, if you look up the definition, that's what you can find out. Substance is something that really is. If something is not real, then it has no substance. Has no substance. It is not imaginary. Something of substance, which faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is something that is not imaginary. Say, how do you see faith? We're going to get to that. But I'm just telling you, it's the substance. There's something very real. James when we look at the substance of our faith, when something has substance, it is something of which we have confidence in. Yeah, that's what substance is. I mean, we can just have a surety in it. I didn't get up on this platform and walk over this chair and sit down in it because I had no confidence in it. No, I sat down in it because I had confidence that it was going to hold me up. That's faith. Has substance. I had confidence in something, and God desires that we have confidence in someone, and that's his son. If you just look up in chapter number 10 and look at verse number 35, it says this: cast not away therefore your confidence, Your confidence, and your confidence is to be in Christ, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience. After that ye have done the will of God, that ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. Amen. And will not tarry. Now, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You understand with me, if we have faith in Christ, we are not moving backwards. We are not retreating. We are moving forward in the hope of His coming. I'm telling you, when we talk about faith having substance, we're talking about the hope that we have in Christ, the substance of who Jesus is, that Jesus is coming again. Listen to me, that is a sure thing. It exists, the reality of that exists. It's not imaginary. It is literally the hope of the believer. It is my promise that I can live through this life because He lives and His life is in me. I have a reward that is waiting for me in glory when Christ comes. When I do not know about His coming, I have no hope. But how do I know? Well, listen, His word gives me confidence. No. His word gives me substance. And I have faith in His word that His coming is sure. The substance of the coming of Christ, listen, it begins in His word. As I am a hearer of the word of God, it becomes a reality unto me. And listen, when I put my faith and trust in God, He sent unto me a comforter, the Holy Spirit, that, listen, is going to give me the earnest of His spirit that I can know that I have eternal life. That I can know that He's coming again. That I, listen, I have substance to the reality because He now lives in me. The substance of my hope is not in my religion. It's not in governments of men. It is not in money. It is in Christ and Christ alone because of what He's done for me on the cross and how He has comforted me in my life and how He has come to me unto salvation. The only source of true substance is Christ. So there's substance in the fact of Jesus Christ and in the work that He has done, the substance of the things that we hope for, that I'm looking for this to come to pass. But we also know this, faith is the substance that we hope for. It is also the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. You say, wait a second, that goes contrary to what evidence is. If someone went to a court of law and says, I'd like to present this evidence into exhibit number A, and the judge looked down and said, okay, where is it? It's right here. You can't see it, judge, but it's real. Trust me. That wouldn't be submitted into evidence. But when we're talking about faith, faith is evidenced. We looked at this last week, and we've talked about it already this morning. Faith is evidenced by action. No. It is evidenced by action. I have faith, thus it'll lead me to action. It'll lead me to do something. And listen, it is the evidence of things not seen. Evidence is proof. It's proof that I have faith in God. That which a thing is proved to be or tested to be. It is a reality that in our life, in my actions, I am going to prove. You say, I want you to prove you have faith. Well, it is going to be evidenced in things that are not seen. I have faith, and therefore, because of my faith, it leads me to be action. The action is going to be what's seen. The faith is not seen. Faith begins inside of me. It comes forth out of me. Faith that I'm going to be obedient to the Word of God. My hope is in Christ, and my hope is in the promises of His Word, and that leads me to action. I just want to consider just like how does this work practically? If you go back in the Old Testament, in Numbers in chapter number 13, God had brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. He was bringing them into the land of promise. And you remember they said, hey, wait a second, before we just go ahead and be obedient to God, before by faith we just step out into this unknown land and we go claim it like God told us to, before we do that, How about we send some spies in there? And you remember the story of the spies. I mean, they went in, 12 spies, one for each tribe. And we sing the kids' song, 10 were bad and 2 were good, right? And they went into the land of Canaan, and they began to spy out the land of Canaan. And they came back, and there were 2 spies that said, my goodness, it's amazing. It's just what God said it is. We need to go and claim the victory that God has given us. And we need to just rise up and do it. And 2, Caleb and Joshua had that testimony. And 40 years later, they would be the only ones that walked into the land of Canaan. The other 10 said, you know what? It's bad. I mean, it's really bad. I mean, there's giants in that land. I mean, and so much giants that they thought we were grasshoppers in their sight. I mean, it's amazing as you read how it's worded that they knew they didn't. I mean, they were afraid of the giants. They didn't fight with the giants. They didn't converse with the giants. But they knew exactly what the giants were thinking. Right? It's amazing. We were grasshoppers in their sight. There's no reason why we should even attempt to do this. There's no reason why we should obey God. There's no reason to go in this land. It's too great. It's too big. We cannot overcome the obstacles that are in front of us, like God has told us. He's already given us victory to do. Come on, that's a pretty familiar story in the Word of God. The children of Israel chose not to follow God and thus spent 40 years wandering through the wilderness in disobedience to God instead of going into the land. And listen, the whole time, the problem is this: they lacked the faith to obey the command of God. The entire reason. Well, wait, there were giants. Absolutely, there were giants. Fast forward 40 years, the book of Deuteronomy. Moses gives the book of Deuteronomy before they, I mean, it's kind of like the last things he said to the nation of Israel. He is bringing remembrance to them of the things that God had done, the things that God had said, and the things that had happened as they've traveled through the wilderness. And it's so interesting that he begins in chapter number 2, and you can go read this for yourself, but in chapter number 2, he begins to talk about how God gives victory, and he talks about the children of Lot and the children of Esau in Deuteronomy. In chapter number 2, and he talks about how God gave them victory over giants. People that did not have the promise. Esau did not have the promise of God. Lot did not have the promise of God. But at the same time, God says there, Moses reminds them, listen, we know this to be a truth. We know this to be a fact. God gave them victory over giants. And then you go to chapter number 3, and he begins to remind them about a battle that they had fought against Og, the king of Bashan. And this is the interesting thing in chapter number 3. He says it twice in verse number 11 and verse number 13 of Deuteronomy in chapter number 3, that when the king of Bashan came up against us, we knew this, that they were giants. Oh, come on, come on. And then he says in verse number 13, it reminds me again, remember, the land of Bashan is known, and these people were known for being giants. And listen to me, and God gave us victory. He did. Over giants that 40 years earlier kept us out of the promise of God and kept us from walking in obedience to God. We've already knew that God could defeat giants. We've already seen God defeat giants. And yet for some reason we can't move forward because, well, there's a giant. And then look at Deuteronomy in chapter number 4. Deuteronomy in chapter number 4. It's mind-blowing. Look at verse number 6. He says this. This is an instruction. Keep therefore... look at verse 5. I'm sorry. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. For, look at this. For this is your wisdom and your understanding. Where? Where? Notice this. Where? In the sight of the nations. Wait a second. Not in them. He said, listen, this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of everybody who's watching you. In the sight of everybody, you keeping my commandments, you following my judgments and my statutes, you doing what God has told you to do is going to be in the sight of the nations wisdom and understanding. It says, which shall hear all these statutes, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this is a great nation. This great nation is a wise and understanding people. Can you get this? Keeping and doing God's command is our wisdom and our understanding before this world. It is the evidence of things not seen. You say, can we see God? No, you can't see God. Well, how do we know God exists? Because he lives in me. Well, how do I know he lives in you? Because you can watch me keep his commands. And the problem of this world and the problem of us sharing our faith is that the world watches us be as disobedient to the commands of God far more than it pays attention to our commands. If we would have a life that was characterized by walking in obedience to the commands of God, then listen, this is what was going to take notice. That, listen, they are wise. They're understanding. Far too many times, our lives, listen, that are supposed to be the evidence of the existence of God in this world are anything but evidence of existence of God. Because when we face trials and when we face troubles, we are just as faithless as them who do not know God many times. We act just as hopeless as them who do not know God many times. We act as if, man, well, I just don't know where to turn. I don't know what's going to do. And man, if I lose this job or if this happens or if that happens. And we sit around and we think about all the troubles and trials of life. And instead of thinking about, well, okay, listen, what I need to concentrate on is being obedient to the commands of God. I can't control the weather. I can't control a virus. I can't control other people's actions. I can't control the government. I can't control the news cycle. I can't control who's in the White House. I can't control what other people are going to do. But I can be in control of one thing. I can choose to walk by faith in obedience to God. If I'd make that choice, listen, it would be the evidence that people around me to see that he is real, that there's something different and there's something real about our faith. It says this in verse number 2, for by it, faith, the elders obtained a good report. By their faith to follow God. By their faith to be obedient unto God and to his commands. Come on. They obtained a good report of faith in this world. And we're able to read their report of faith. They weren't perfect. Come on. They weren't perfect. I thank the Lord that he points out the imperfections of the people that we look as heroes of the faith as he points out their imperfections just as much as he does their obedience. But their lives would be more characterized by their obedience than by the imperfections of their life. The problem is this. Most people are too busy trying to figure out which of God's commands they can get away with in their life instead of figuring out what it is in the world that God wants me to be obedient to. Friend, faith is obedience to the Word of God. And as I live out my faith, there's both going to be substance and evidence to the reality that my faith is real. But when you and I live lives that would not be characterized by obedience to the Word of God, we give out evidence and a lack of substance to the thing that we've claimed that has changed our very life and existence. We do. If somebody's telling you about a restaurant, somebody said, hey, you need to go check out this restaurant. Well, is there good food? It's all right. Well, is it? I mean, the good service? Not really. But you ought to go check it out. What would you recommend? Nothing. Well, why would I go? Why would I be compelled? If you tell me the food's, it's okay. Service is, it's all right. I wouldn't recommend anything on the menu. What in the world would you be telling me about it for? But listen, when I've gone, tasted the good food, enjoyed the good service, I could tell you exactly what I get on the menu. I'm more compelled to follow that person's recommendation. And you and our lives are the same way. When we've tasted and seen that God is gracious and good, and we can give evidence and testimony, listen, he's a good God. And I'm telling you, and he loves me, and he cares about me, and he's interested in my good. And I'm telling you, and our lives begin to be of evidence and substance to the fact of who God is, listen, that takes place because I, by faith, am walking in obedience to Him. Faith is taking God at His word. We must learn to take God at His word if we're ever going to have lives characterized as being lived by faith. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. God wants you to have